Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, my name is VexX. This is the Vex on Vex podcast, episode number 39. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live tonight recording from the Starscream official Christmas party. If you listen in the background, there's people talking, there's people drinking. It's a festive event. I have the lovely fiance of Johnny Mac on the podcast today, Miss Tiffany. Hello, Tiffany.
Hi, Vex.
How are you?
Glad to be here.
It's so you're the second female to ever be on the podcast in the history of the podcast.
Why couldn't I have been the first?
Well, frankly speaking, there was things happened with the first that I can't do with you because you're engaged to someone else.
Okay, well, second's fine.
Okay. Fine. Johnny Mac is also on the microphone. He's the fantastic drummer of We Are One. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You sound phenomenal and full in your delivery and
I should have been in radio.
You should have been in radio. So welcome to the Vex on Vex podcast,
I'm
Tiffany.
Excited.
Why are you excited? That's it? That's all you got? Why are you excited? You're like, I'm not going to answer you.
Because we always see your podcasts. We hear them.
You really
them.
Listen to them?
I do.
I don't believe you.
Well, I do. Because you just had Magnus on there not too long ago.
The guy's on there a lot.
It doesn't matter. So I thought, when are we going to be on there? Like, don't be, shushing us into the closet. We want to be on here.
Well, you're here.
Yes.
When you were 12 years old, Tiffany. Mm-hmm. Who was your favorite top five musical acts? Oh, look at your face. I thought you listened to the podcast. You'd be prepared for such questioning.
No, like, can you get him? Can you ask John first?
Johnny Mac, when you were 12 years old, who were your top five musical acts?
Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, The Who, Cream, The Police. And
yeah, it's four. You're bad at math. I'm just kidding.
I'm a drummer.
Who is it? Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, Cream, The Police. That's four. The Who. You said The Who.
And The Who, yeah.
And The Who, that is
it
five.
It is five. Not one metal band, John.
I was 12.
No, in that grouping, who was your favorite drummer out of those people? I would figure it's Bonzo, but I just want to ask.
Bonzo.
It is Bonzo.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Most definitely. Bonzo. Tiffany, it's up to you. Who were your top five musical acts at the tender age of 12?
Queen.
You liked Queen when you were 12.
I did.
Do you remember how you discovered Queen, if you don't mind me asking? You
have probably no idea. Probably through my cousin, because they were older than me.
Okay.
So we would just kind of like chill at my aunt's house, and we would listen, they would drink, and they had a bar downstairs.
Do you have any recollection what your favorite song could have possibly been at all?
No, not really.
I remember like being enthralled with We Will Rock You when I was that age. Like, it was a big deal for me. I told the story 1,000 times on the podcast, but it's still true. Pro Wrestling used to have that as one of the theme songs for this tag team in the NWA. And they'd come out to We Will Rock You, and I was like, I love this song so much! And I found Queen. Who was your number four artist at the tender age of 12?
Well, I like the Rolling Stones.
You were a Stones person.
Yes, because my dad got me and my cousin tickets when Rolling Stones and Michael Jackson were at Veterans Stadium. But I was a little older than that. I wasn't 12.
Because Steel Wheels is 89. That's their return. Because they were vanished before that. Now, I don't remember Michael Jackson and the Stones at Veterans Stadium. When was that?
I think I was 15, maybe? Because it was the Jackson 5, because I just remember they had these, like, dragon outfits on, and they came across the stage.
Now, our friend Christian's here. He's off microphone. But Christian knows a lot about rock and roll. I'm not a Rolling Stones guy, Christian. Were you ever kind of a Rolling Stones person?
No?
Okay. It's just that I remember Steel Wheels being the huge comeback in 89. Before that, I remember, like, Start You Up was, like, 81-ish.
Right.
And they kind of broke up. So are you sure it wasn't just Mick Jagger and the Jackson 5?
You know, it could have been.
Because that would make a little more sense.
Yeah.
I think that might have been it.
You got me, like, all fucked up now.
I got you fucked up? It was me.
Yes, this is you.
Your life choices?
Yes.
So why did you like the Stones? Just because of that specific concert with Michael Jackson? Or?
Yeah, like, that was a memorable concert for me. But I've always liked their music when it was either just Mick Jagger or when it was with the Rolling Stones.
Now, who would be your number three artist at the tender age of 12?
Oh, God. Considering I'm damn near 50, that's kind of hard Menudo. To remember. Menudo.
Well, no, because, like, let me think. When you were a kid, the big teen band would have been, like, Bobby Brown's band, New Edition. They'd have been, like,
New
a
Edition I love.
There you go. Did you like Belle Biv DeVoe?
Yes.
That was a little later.
Yes.
But I loved Belle Biv DeVoe.
They're playing at Parks Casino.
I heard that shit.
I want to go.
I kind of want to go for the nostalgia, but I don't really know. What do you think, Johnny?
Nay.
You got a microphone, Johnny.
No.
I told him we need to go. It's right at Parks.
I mean, you're getting married, so you probably should just say yes, ma'am. I'm getting divorced. Ha ha! So it's a different world.
No, I pull Al Bundy, no ma'am.
No ma'am. Okay. So can I say that was possibly one of your top five at the tender age of 12?
Yes, you can.
We have two left. Were you like, who's your favorite? Was it like Michael Jackson or something?
Michael Jackson I love. I don't know. I'm like kind of stumped. I really kind of don't think at 12 I was into a shit ton of music.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that's like kind of an emotional age, especially for a female. You'd figure you'd be like, listen to Debbie Gibson, like, oh my God.
Well, and Tiffany was cool.
Oh, Tiffany.
Yes,
I remember that
shit. Yes, I did like her, but that wasn't.
That was later.
Yeah, that was later.
That was definitely later.
She was the original Mallrat.
It was, too. That was her thing. Do you guys know the story about Tiffany at all?
No.
So she was just like a really good singer. She was a kid. And she got this manager who was like overbearing and like heavy-handed. He had her cover a Beatles tune. Do you remember that shit?
No.
Saw you standing there, and that's not it. I think we're alone now. Is that it?
No, I think it was the
I saw you standing there.
Yeah,
so it was a Beatles tune. The 20 years had just expired on the copyright, so they were able to cover it, air quotes. Not that the Beatles owned their publishing. Somebody else did. And now Michael Jackson's estate does, which is ironic that. But the point is, he was this older, overbearing guy who really guided her career and made her like a fucking star. Like, that shit in the malls was unheard of. And malls were a new thing in the 80s. They'd existed in the 70s briefly, but it was like a thing. In the 80s, like, Franklin Mills Mall was established. And it was like a different world. And that was her whole fucking draw. Like, you go to a mall, like, oh my God, it's Tiffany, I love it. And then she separated from him and she dropped like a fucking stone. Like, her subsequent follow-up records never did anything. So, that's like the Tiffany story. Not that you care.
So, he was like a wannabe Peter Grant.
You know, a better parallel is that, do you guys know who, who was the Rose? Bette Midler.
Bette
Midler had like a heavy-handed motherfucker-like manager when she was like a young artist, and he really pushed it. Skip, that is so loud over here. Because Johnny Mac's microphone's pointing right at it. Okay, maybe we turn that.
Doing some bombs?
Yeah, he's recording. You want to do it, play something?
What?
Play something.
Were.
No, you were tuning. It was bang. So we're at the Starscream Christmas Party 2018.
Yes,
so
motherfucking
cool.
Right.
Motherfucking right.
Yeah. First annual.
First annual. So Joey's going to hold this one every year, right?
So be ready, fuckers.
You want to pop on the microphone and say hello to your adoring audience?
No, I get nervous.
Joey doesn't like being on the podcast. And he was on a couple episodes ago. He didn't enjoy it at all. He's afraid of my love.
Well, I'm not.
You seem not to be speaking a whole lot, though. So
well, ask me some stuff that I like. We'll really talk about. I mean, I love music, but I can't like name, you know, like go back 12, 13, 14 years old.
What was your first concert? Everybody knows the first concert. Like, I can tell you the name of the first girl I slept with.
Monsters of Rock.
Was it like the Eddie Van Halen year?
It was the Scorpions.
Okay.
It was Dokken. It was Kingdom Come. Yes. Wait, Kingdom Come, Scorpions, Dokken was there.
That's fucking glorious.
Yeah, no, it was all day. It was fucking fantastic.
So were you like sunburned in the sun and stuff?
Yes.
That's
and
pretty
drunk.
Cool. And drunk?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was one of my favorite concerts.
So you loved it?
Yes.
And you were like a kid. You weren't like...
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't...
Like a teenager, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's really fucking cool.
And then the Michael Jackson one was good.
Yeah, teenage drinking's always good.
Johnny Mac, what was your first concert? Do you remember?
Yeah, a band called Love and Money at the TLA.
I never even heard of them. Who were they?
Nobody.
No shit. And you just went and it was like awesome?
Yeah.
You were like little, right?
Yeah, I think it was like around my teens.
Yeah, the first one I ever saw was Guns N' Roses. But they were weren't with Steven Adler. It was, who's that drummer?
Matt Storm.
Matt Storm, yeah.
It was Matt Storm.
Matt Storm
yeah.
was the drummer. It was the summer of 91 before the Illusion records came out. And Izzy Stradlin was still in the fucking band, and they played all the Illusion record songs, and we didn't know them. But we didn't care. We're like, it's gonna be fucking glorious! I love you so much!
That's when I saw Soundgarden open up for him.
Now, see, that was later. That was after the record.
It was December of that year, 91, I believe.
Was it 91?
Yeah. And between Soundgarden and GNR, it was like a 2-hour delay.
Always was, though, because that's when Axl was throwing his temper tantrums. Now, that night, who was the better band? In your opinion?
Soundgarden.
No shit.
But I don't know. It's hard. Like looking back, it's really hard to determine because that's when I think like "Loud in Love" was kind of popular and "Bad Motorfinger." I think just
so.
Dropped.
Did Motorfinger was it out yet? I don't think it was quite out. Maybe not.
But they were doing songs off it. They were promoting "Bad Motorfinger."
Because man, like fucking Rusty Cage. I remember the first time I saw the video on MTV after like school one day. It like blew my fucking mind. I was like, "Take my Rusty Cage and run, baby."
And then Black Hole Sun came on the box.
Black Hole Sun's later. I already graduated high school.
Yeah.
That's a different record. That's super unknown.
But still a great record.
But yeah. Well, I think Motorfinger's the better record, in my opinion. It's like the grungier, dirtier fucking Soundgarden. Like, if you look at Black Hole Sun and songs of that caliber, it's more commercial for Soundgarden. Like, I love Soundgarden, but that was like they were polishing it up and they wanted a fucking hit. I was working with your boy, Steve Cambion, at some fucking bill collecting place. Remember Finger Hut?
Yeah, oh my god, I just got a fucking thing for Finger Hut.
Allied Bond and Collection Agency.
Federal Bond. What was it, what was yours called?
Allied Bond and Collection
now,
Agency.
I worked for Federal Bond.
Really?
Allied Bond was the direct competition. After Steve quit, he went to Allied.
I worked there.
And Allied paid less.
On Lincoln Highway.
Yeah, the Chaminade
play. Mine was on Frankfurt Avenue. There was a Blockbuster Video near the fucking near the grocery store. It's not. It's the building's still there.
I remember that.
Frankfurt Levick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I no. Further up. Further up. Near the TD Bank now.
Tyson?
Not quite that far, but in that fucking realm. Anyway, when you left high school, did you go to college?
No. When I left, I went and worked for my dad. He owned a convenience store in Claymont, Delaware. It was the Sunoco Mini Mart.
He worked, really?
Yeah, he owned it.
Did he own the gas station?
Yes.
So dad had money.
Yes, dad did have money.
That's pretty cool.
And then dad decided to sell it, and then I ended up having to get my own job because they went to Florida for a little while.
Where'd you have to go work?
I ended up going through temp services. Worked at Bank of America. It was down in Wilmington. Right on, like, 4th Street.
So you're from Delaware originally.
I grew up in Chester.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Was it ever nice? Because when I think of Chester...
No, it was shit.
It's thug life.
It's super thug life, super shit.
I feel like she's being interrogated right now.
I haven't committed any crimes.
That we know of?
That we know of.
That you'll never find out.
I don't know. People start drinking on the...
But I'm not drinking, that's the thing.
Just saying.
There's something called Google.
On the Vex on Vex podcast, interesting and weird things
all
do happen.
All better off the table.
So again, I want to stress everybody who's listening. I know there's a lot of background noise, and I apologize. This is the official Starscream first annual Christmas get-together. It's, what is today's date? Today's December the 15th. It's 10 days. In 10 days, I'll be in a different country. Finger guns.
And we're jealous.
Yeah, I got to get away. It's been a weird year.
Better weather, too.
It's supposed to rain, but hopefully it won't. But it's still fucking 90 degrees, so I think I'll survive it. I started tanning today for my...
Are you doing it at Planet Fitness?
Of course. The fuck?
I told you that's what we're going to start.
Dude, because
doing.
It's free for your fucking membership, right?
Excuse me, I am not going bronze for anybody.
Yes, you will. He will.
Well, you're getting married, man. It's a different world.
You
now,
will.
I've been married a
he's
lot.
He's got to get a manicure when it happens. He's got to be fully, no mustache, no facial hair, no nothing.
Why?
Because that's what I like.
I mean, you aren't wearing any facial hair now.
Well, that's because I made him
so
shave
what's the difference
before we left.
Now and when we get
I've
married.
Never seen him with facial hair.
I don't know. I definitely...
No, I rocked the goatee back in the day.
Oh, yeah, like...
And he had the porn stash.
No.
Yes, it was Smokey and the Bandit porn stash. It's
right,
bad.
I never had Smokey and the Bandit porn stash.
Okay, I'll pull the pictures out later.
What's wrong with a porn stash?
Smokey and the Bandit porn stash?
Yes.
About it, tell me. Now, Christian, you're kind of off mic because you refused to get on it, which is fine. We saw Weezer the other night together, by the way.
We did.
It was glorious.
They were amazing.
But you have, like, a Fu Manchu funky mustache.
But he can
right
pull
now.
That off.
You know, my real dad had a crazy Fu Manchu just like that.
Yeah.
Then that's all, no one cares. But if you have any idea what my dad looked like, you wouldn't. I wore fake mustaches a lot in the Starscream days. I used to call them celebratory mustaches after a show. And there's a picture of me, and I look like my dad. So really, I must have the same face, but he always had a giant, crazy mustache, and I had no idea we looked the same, which is weird.
When my mother grows a mustache, we look like twins.
I don't know how I feel about that sentence. Yeah. Now, I was going to ask an inappropriate question.
Go ahead, I don't care.
In your life as a young lady, and you get any hair, do you wax or do you
I don't
pluck?
Do anything because I really don't get anything. And if I do, it's not noticeable.
It's coming, though, isn't it, in the arc of your life? Like, isn't that
why, because I'm premenopausal?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Probably.
You're going to punch me for that question? It's a fact.
I thought you were going to ask me something really inappropriate.
That was inappropriate.
Okay.
Like, every time I get married, and it happens a lot, in my head I'm like, when she goes through the change, can I handle this?
Well, but he handles hot flashes.
That's
because I keep
a tough
the fan
one.
On all the time.
I'm seeing a girl socially. And in her bedroom,
mm-hmm.
It's like a fucking wind tunnel. There's a noise machine and a fan.
Yeah.
And said, you want to stay over? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll see you later.
That's why I sleep with a pillow over my head.
Yeah, I can't have it, dude. Like,
I need to sleep like that.
Then my second wife had such a fucked up childhood that she had everything in her head when she closed her eyes, and we had to sleep with televisions on, like, glaring at us for years.
There's no way I could not do that.
So I bought earplugs and a face mask, for real, because I just want to lay down in the quiet, in the dark, and like, la, 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 and go to sleep, and it was not an option.
Yeah, no. He just deals with the fan. That's worse enough.
I'm okay with that.
The wind tunnel. Oh, I don't like the wind tunnel. Anyway.
Because I'm out the door before she is, and I'm home before she is.
Mr. Christian, what was your first concert?
Starscream.
Gwar.
That's a fantastic first. Were you let down by preceding concerts after that?
Well, I didn't go to another concert for like 6 years after that.
You're a huge concert guy, though. Like, you and I go all the time together, and you're always going without me, so how did that happen?
I've only just started going in the past, like, 10 years. Like, I didn't really go to concerts. I didn't really think it was a thing that people did. Like, I didn't do that every week.
How much do you enjoy them now when you go?
Oh, it's the best thing in the world. That's all I look forward to, is going to concerts.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to step away from this conversation. We shall return momentarily. I think Starstream is going to perform, and I'm the singer, so perhaps we'll get this shit together and play some music.
And the guest drummer from We Are One. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you. So please bear with us, everyone. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Starscream at the Christmas party. I believe we're playing a song called To the End.
Two, one. I don't like two. Too slow. Tell me twice.
I feel alright. You don't know. Starscream to the End. So that was our sound check. You want to try DeLorean for real?
Do it.
DeLorean.
Do you know that one?
I'm ready.
Why don't you start it then? We all started.
Oh, Johnny Mac, you're not leaving. You're in. You're playing.
Yeah, but he's playing.
Starscream. What song are we playing, gentlemen?
Avalanche.
Avalanche. Good one.
One, two.
You went away. Everything you did.
damn it, we'll implode, and now it's fine, crystal clear. All of your complaints ringing in my ear, and I quit.
Boomcock. Before the fall.
So
we're gonna stop talking.
yeah.
We just tuned. So this is Starscream playing Weapons featuring Johnny Mac from the band We Are One.
You never hesitate to fill my heart with hate. Broken down, we are all you ever knew. No need to make it through. Build a sound, weapons in my hand to kill my fellow man. To your concern, whoa, whoa, to let it go. Oh. Yeah. Time is always fading fast. We try to make it last to no avail. We are bigger than you knew. No need to turn it through. My curtail, weapons in my hand to kill my fellow man. Whoa, whoa, to let it go. Fire as it burns, laugh at your concern. Whoa, whoa, to let it go. Weapons in my hand to kill my fellow man. Your concern, whoa, whoa, to let it go. Yeah. Look, to fill my heart with hate. Broken down, weapons in my hand to kill my fellow man. Whoa, whoa, to let it go. Fire as it burns, laugh at your concern. Whoa, whoa, to let it go. Weapons in my hand to kill my fellow man. Concern, whoa, whoa, to let it go. Ah.
Yeah.
Starscream.
Woo! Song's called Blocka Blocka. Was written in 2001. Brought back for the new LP. Blocka Blocka.
It's
closer.
That's it?
Yeah, like that.
Joey, you're lying.
You know you're in the band.
You know you play this, right?
First time we're doing this.
Don't get upset. We love you.
Dude, this is your part.
What am I doing?
This is your time to shine.
It's your moment, and you blew it, man.
You're calling.
Thank you. as we fall forever. No one to blame, but we're still together.
Gentlemen, written in the great year of our Lord, 1995, this song's called WTF, or more to the point, what the fuck?
Supposed to be? What the fuck am I supposed to do? I don't live my life for you. You're just a vicious lie inside my mind. You're just a waste of time. Oh fuck, I'm feeling fine, fine, fine. Supposed to go? What do you know? Who gave you all the control? Who said that was the role? You're just a vicious lie inside my mind. You're just a waste of time. Oh fuck, I'm feeling fine, fine, fine. We'll be right back. precious line inside my mind. You're just a waste of time. Oh fuck, I'm feeling fine, fine, fine. Just fuck off, you fucking cunt, cunt, cunt!
Yeah. Woo!
Starscream, Christmas acoustical
Brava.
Jam.
What'd you say?
Brava!
Brava? Thank you.
And now we're live. So,
I hate you right now.
The lovely Tiffany sat down. She has a beautiful faux hawk thing happening. It's lovely. And so she put on the headphones, and my friend Christian's like, "You fucked your hair up." And we're all like, "Yeah, your hair's messed up." And you panicked.
It's messed up.
All right, talking to the microphone, young lady.
Don't look at me.
It's not messed up. I would show you my phone's charging. So, Starscream just got to jam.
Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm good. You guys sounded great.
I appreciate that. Johnny Mac filled in on the drums kind of.
I know.
Did you hear that shit?
I'm super impressed.
He's great, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Johnny.
I have my moments.
You've actually performed on stage with us before. I think you were saying that off mic, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Bill,
yes.
Who is now our road manager, used to be the drummer in The Broken before we were called Starscream 1,000 years ago. Okay? And he got called into work. So I called Johnny Mac on the phone. I'm like, "Hey, Johnny Mac." And he's like, "Yes." I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Nothing." I'm like, "We have a show today. Would you maybe want to be in our show?" Give me the double fucks. Okay, so our friends walked in from power smoking.
Bobo's checking in, saying hi.
You're next, Bobo. The next episode.
You don't want me on
there. Yeah, I do. So at any rate, that happened.
Yes. So but anyway, so he filled in.
Back Johnny Mac filled in, and it was glorious. Remember, Johnny?
I learned your whole set in 2 hours.
Literally.
What?
Yeah. I think we met in like Sam's basement. We're like, "All right, Johnny, he'll be." To be honest, though, he had seen us play a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And probably kind of had a feeling for the music. He killed it, though. It was a lot of fun. At the Ferenz, which was a lot of people. And it was glorious. Man, it's fucking loud here, isn't it?
It is.
And don't forget the Elvis tapestry in the background.
Did the Sam, did the Ferenz have the velvet Elvis in the background on the stage? Was that that building?
Because I thought it was the mirror with the Elvis behind it.
I feel like yes.
That was it, right? So we used to play this venue called the Ferenz. 9th and Cherry. 19th and Cherry.
No, it was in Chinatown, I believe.
Cherry, yeah.
It was near a truck.
Yeah, Arch. So 11th and Arch is the truck. And this
correct.
Was like 11th. It was 11th and Cherry. Maybe 9th, but something around there. And it was weird because we're like, "Someday we're going to play the truck in our theater." And we did. Which is pretty fucking cool, but you start at the fucking shitty club when you're 12 years old, and that's where
you work your way up.
You work your way
did.
Up.
It
yeah.
took a long time. It's a long way to the top if you want to
rock and roll.
So, Miss Tiffany,
yes.
You were raised in the great state of Delaware.
Mm.
Chester. You just forgot that.
Well, it's been an
Chester.
Hour. My God.
We're not drinking.
It's like 2+. Thank you.
So you
was raised in Chester.
Can I ask a dumb question about that?
Yes.
If the father had money, which obviously it sounds like he did.
It's not my real dad.
But why wouldn't you be in Chester? Why wouldn't you have located you somewhere more...
When he met my mom,
yeah.
We lived in Claymont, Delaware.
So it was Delaware. You're
but
a fibber.
I was not raised there, though. I was born, born in Chester. We met my dad when I was 2.
Oh, so you were raised in Claymont, Delaware. Hold this for me.
No, I was born in Chester.
Born is a different
word. And there for 2 years.
Oh, because you did a lot in 2. You were working full time. You were fucking babysitting other people. No, you're a liar. No, I got you. I caught you fibbing.
Off.
No, for real.
No, because you asked me. I was born and raised in Chester.
You were born in Chester for 2 years.
And raised for 2 years, yes.
And then raised for the other...
And then Claymont, Delaware, then Wilmington, Delaware.
Thank you. So you were raised in Delaware, just like I said. And she tried to make me fucking feel bad, Johnny Mac. As if to say I didn't pay attention. The irony was, she didn't pay attention.
Well, Sam said earlier, welcome to my life.
Did you go to college at all?
No.
I went for like 5 minutes once.
Well, no, you know what? I take that back because you're probably going to say I'm a liar again.
I will.
So when I lived in Jacksonville, Florida, I went to an ultrasound diagnostic school. So
now,
I did have that.
Is that college or is that just training?
It's like a tech school. Like you learned how to do ultrasounds, but
is that what you do today? You don't do that today,
do
you?
No, I work at Canon.
Only to me.
Camera company.
Do you enjoy it?
Yes.
That's good. What is your position?
Government contract analyst.
Oh, so you'd like the back end. Like, it isn't like kind of sales.
No, not the back end.
Seriously, though, like, it's like.
No, I don't do sales. We do,
yeah,
like, for the DEA, IRS, all their copier machines that
sure.
they have.
Meter reads.
Yeah, the meter reads, their renewals.
How long have you worked there?
15 years.
Do you enjoy it?
Yes.
So you're going to finish there, you think? You're going to end? That's
no, I'm finishing there.
Oh, you are finishing there.
Yeah, meaning, like, I'm going to retire from there.
From there,
yeah,
that's
yes,
what I meant.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Lifer. Yeah.
Well, not lifer. She had a full life before that, theoretically.
Well, before she met me, technically, yeah.
So you're going to marry Johnny Mac soon.
Yes.
What do you guys... I mean, we discussed this off mic, but we might put it in the podcast. What do you think you're going to do for this ceremony? Because Johnny's been married before. You've been married before.
Yes.
What
well,
do you guys want to do?
I either want Vegas.
Okay.
A Halloween wedding.
Okay.
Maybe your backyard.
You really... No, because if we do it at Halloween, we can do it like in the foyer and make it look really,
yes.
really...
Yes.
Definitely could do that.
Because maybe the yard has the bad mojo. We can do it inside the
right.
house. You know what I mean?
And then just
make
go
it
the
dark
yard
and gloomy.
Yeah, we could make it really, really cool, actually. The irony is, I wonder if I could bring in Kelly to still decorate.
I mean, would that be an issue? Would she decorate for me?
No, I think it would be an issue. But if you look behind us, there's like a sugar skull by the sink.
I love
so
that.
So I think Bobo could help us fucking decorate.
Yeah, we could definitely make it happen. So
I think
that's
we
just
could bring her on board.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to do that.
So
yeah.
What are you leaning towards? Are you thinking it's Vegas? Are you thinking it's maybe in Philadelphia? Like, what do you guys want to do?
He says leave it up to me.
Of course, you're the woman. I understand
I'm
that
thinking
sentence.
If it's going to be justice of the peace, we're just going to go to Philly, take some of our friends, blah, 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 to lunch afterwards.
Uh-huh.
Vegas, though, I love. I want to do a destination wedding. Like, I'm throwing out 4 and 5 ideas. And
all right, so we had discussed Vegas. What destination, if not Vegas, would you consider, like a Caribbean type of thing? Or where would you want to
like
go?
Like Punta Cana or Jamaica.
Now, I did a Punta Cana wedding.
Yeah.
It was glorious.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost a lot of money.
No, and it's beautiful there.
It really is. I like it there a lot. Dominican Republic.
Yes.
And now that I'm newly single, I appreciate the females in the Dominican Republic. Let me tell you. Like, no, for real. It's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been there?
What, Punta Cana?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was there on my 2-week honeymoon when I was married to the cop.
I'm trying to... So I have 3 weddings under my belts, 2 divorces, right? First...
He has more wrestling belts than wedding belts, by the way.
Well, you do. I always see one each week.
It's true. I have an addiction. You know, you go through a divorce, and then you just become 7, and you're like, I'm 7, and
right.
I'm going to buy things that a 7-year-old couldn't afford. And it's fucking wrestling belts, which is just, and they're only from like the 80s. Like, I don't want any modern shit.
No, yeah.
It's gotta be from when I was 7. It's like, oh, this is the Hulk Hogan.
Oh,
you just want
the
like the Q-Bert, you know, video game.
He's drunk.
The tabletop
Q-Bert. He's drunk.
Do you remember Q-Bert though?
I do.
My God, remember the Q-Bert fucking cartoon?
No. I don't remember.
Shame
that.
On you. It wasn't good.
No, I don't remember
that. Do you remember the Mr. T cartoon?
I do.
That was awesome.
It's weird because they try to portray Mr. T. as like a Hollywood thing, and they portrayed him as kind of dumb and later in his career. But on his first David Letterman appearance, he goes on and he's like, you know, I wear these chains because my people were brought over in shackles, and I've now made them gold, not to forget where I come from. Like, really deep things.
Yeah.
Why do you have a mohawk? Because my people had this as a hairstyle from my tribe. Like, really cool things. And then he's like, later on, he's like, I'm Mr. T. I pity the fool.
I'm afraid to fly.
I ain't afraid of no pain, Hannibal. Man, the A-Team was important. I remember the series Jumping the Shark towards the end of it. It got kind of weird. They were on trial. They were like, oh, the A-Team's been captured. And they're on trial. And they're like, not the A-Team, no. This is right around the time Randy Macho Man Savage was becoming someone in the WWF.
Oh, my God. With Elizabeth.
Oh, Miss Elizabeth. She's dead. You fucking believe that shit?
I know.
And she was living with, I believe, Lex Luger when she died, if you guys know who that is.
I remember seeing them. I went to a match. It was Sting. Right? That's a tall blonde guy. It was Sting. I think, never mind.
Okay.
Disregard that.
Let's never mind.
This was a long time
into
ago.
The microphone, though.
Okay.
We can
I'll never do this again.
We can delete that.
That's so painful. Why would you ever do it again? Are you upset about the mic situation?
Well, because you keep kind of yelling at me about it.
Do you feel like that's a yell?
A little bit.
So I met this woman, and she thinks I'm yelling at her, and I'm like, no. If I yell, you're going to know. So my fear is if we ever get into a fight, she'll just break into glass and I'll never speak to her again. But see, we're not married, so that's okay.
Yep.
That's this cool thing I learned. Yeah. When you're dating someone, you can just leave when they're crazy. Which is a new thing for me, as you may have guessed. Do you like horror films, Tiffany?
Love them.
Out of all of them, what's your favorite, like, series? Like, when you were, like, a kid to now, like, what do you think? Like, Saw, for instance.
Original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Now. Just
my
the first
favorite.
Just the first one
the,
or
well I like the original one.
Okay.
I did not like the one I think it was the third one with Matthew McConaughey when they
yeah it's pretty modern
the prom
right
thing.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. Jessica Biel one loved
really
and
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, it was okay. And the other one with Mark Wahlberg's girlfriend at one point should I forget her name?
No, it doesn't matter. You just
original one by far the best.
All right, let's discuss it for a second.
Yeah.
I like that guy a lot. He passed away a few years ago. He was very, if you ever went to the Monster Mania conventions or anything, have
no.
you been to really?
No, never
why
been to one.
Why wouldn't you go?
Because nobody went with me.
I'll go with you.
Okay.
And I'm not even a
is
fan.
Is that a promise?
Yeah.
Okay.
And let me explain to you why. My second wife was obsessed with it. So I started to go with her, and I wasn't a fan. But then you go, and you're like, oh, and it's like unique. You can buy weird things that you can't purchase anywhere.
Right.
The people you meet are really fun. Like, I'm looking at Joey's walls, and he has some horror things. Like, he has collectibles that I used to have in my house. Like, that Friday the 13th, that 3D thing up there on
yeah.
the right-hand corner. I used to have that in my old house. Like, so I like Monster Mania. And she was so into it, we would fly down south to Florida and just go to this, like, resort. And I don't even know. It's what city? I can't think of it. Fort Lauderdale, maybe. And we would just go specifically. And every year, there were always we made friends with who were Southern, who were just there. Like, she has long-lasting relationships because of the horror.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of affinity for it. It's not my thing. Ironically enough, I'm in an awful slasher movie. Did you even know that?
The Don't Tell Me.
Okay.
So
you kind of knew.
It was like a snuff.
Snuff
yeah.
thing. Yeah. Faces of Snuff, it's called.
Yes.
And we're supposed to, like, do the circuit and go out for interviews and all that shit. I don't know, man. It's not my thing, per se. Like, I remember, like, in the 90s, remember that movie Regarding Henry?
Yes, where he got shot in the convenience store.
Was that amazing?
Yes.
So that was the kind of movie I liked. And then you meet girls like, no, I like Friday the 13th,
Halloween,
Jason.
Yes, and Halloween,
so,
the original by far.
Okay, so you're going with Texas Chainsaw as your ultimate, right?
Yeah.
What would be your second
Halloween.
Series?
The
now,
Halloween.
What about Freddy Krueger and stuff like that? Is it
never
too much?
Never liked the Freddy Krueger.
Explain why.
Like, I feel like it wasn't super gory.
Or realistic.
I mean, if you compare that to, like, the Hostel ones, like, we watched Hostel, and we were, like, up
I
all night watching
Hostel.
One after the other.
How many Hostels are there?
There was three. Last one was
I know
in
two.
Vegas.
I know two of them.
Yeah, the last one was in Vegas.
They're pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
The first one might be the scariest.
But I love Rob
yes.
Zombie, too.
All right, let's discuss that for a second. So, as far as a filmmaker goes, he's definitely improved greatly.
Uh-huh.
Danny McBride just wrote the most recent Halloween adaptation, though.
Yes,
did you guys
did.
See that one?
We saw that in the theater.
Now, you're a fan.
Yeah.
Danny McBride versus Rob Zombie. Who's a better Halloween?
Different styles.
That's what I'm asking, though. What do you guys think?
I like Rob Zombie.
Is it just because you're, like, brand to him, or...
Yeah, kind
of. House of a Thousand Corpses is good.
Yeah.
I remember watching it. It came out in the 90s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Dwight from The Office is on it before he's in The Office? Did you
no.
know?
Yes.
Dwight's in... Yeah,
is he?
Yeah. He's the guy with the glasses. He gets killed really early.
That's right.
That's Dwight.
That's right.
And the scene with Sid Haig.
Say that again?
He was in the scene with Sid Haig. When
was
he? First...
Was he? Sid's a bad motherfucker. I met Sid like 40 times. Like,
really?
He's really, really nice. He's just an actor. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, you think of him as like Captain Spaulding. Is that
yes.
the clown's name?
And he's been around.
He's been around since the 70s. Like, he was in all those like blaxploitation films back in the day. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Uh-huh.
Like Foxy Brown and things like that. So he's a very accomplished actor. Not really, but he's been around for a long time. So here's the thing. Dwight's in it. It's a good film. It took years to come out and years to get finished. I feel like, what's the follow-up? Is it the same thing? The Freebirds at the end of it? You have no idea.
No, I'm like stumped though, but I know what you're talking about. When they were all in the car driving into the...
Devil's Rejects.
Yes, Devil's Rejects.
Kind of love that movie.
I do too.
It's there's scenes that... All right, so did you watch Three's Company when you were a kid? Because I did.
Yes.
That mom that she's torturing is fucking one of the third people from Three's Company. So when Chrissy's...
One of the Chrissy's, right?
Yeah, well, Chrissy Snow leaves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is the third installment chick. So she's in the last final seasons of Three's Company. So I have this affinity for this woman. She's also in one of the Wayne's World movies, I believe. She has like a third titty or a third nipple or something. The superfluous third nipple. But anyway, she's that mother. She's just an older lady at this point in her life. And they're like torturing her and they're fucking with her. It's gnarly. And I met that guy. What's his name? Bill? Is that the character's name in the film?
with the long blonde hair from Devil's Rejects. The other guy, it's Sid Haig, it's the fucking Rob Zombie's wife, and there's the third guy. You guys look blank. Anyway,
I the brother dude. A bit, yeah.
Yeah, but I met him. He's like the nicest person in the world. And you can't imagine. He's like, fuck you, man. I'm going to kill you right in your fucking face. And you're like, right? But he's just like, hey, what's up, buddy? And you're like, oh my God, you're so nice. And he's little. Like, he wouldn't be scary in real life, but in that movie, he's fucking deathly ill. I heard they're making a sequel to that movie officially.
That I didn't hear.
I heard that too.
You heard that too. Yes. How do you not know this, Tiffany?
I don't know.
So, but you're a zombie fan.
I am.
Had he made the Flyers movie, would you have looked forward to it, or you don't think you'd be into it?
Probably not.
It could just because it's not horror?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
But see, I like the original I Spit on Your Grave.
Oh, my goodness. I'm impressed. Yes. I know
the
that.
The Last House on the Left.
Now.
Brutal.
But I know this shit because I married a crazy woman who was obsessed with these things. Johnny Mac has no idea what he's getting into. They're bad, dude.
They're brutal.
Last House on the Left is fucking gnarly.
It's brutal.
And it's like psychologically fucking you up. Like, it's bad.
Especially when she cut his nuts off. She castrated him in the tub.
Speaking of which, Hard Candy, did you see that one?
Wait, the young girl?
Yeah.
Yes, I did see
with
that.
Patrick,
and it's weird, because she's, I don't know her name, but she's fucking, what was that?
Ellen Page.
That's her name.
Yes, it was fucked up.
Do you like Trailer Park Boys?
We've watched it,
She's in the fucking Trailer Park Boys as a teenager. She's Leahy's daughter in, like, season one. And then she grows up to be fucking Hard Candy chick, cutting dudes nuts off or something.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
What'd you think of that film?
I liked it. I mean, it definitely, you know, she had her little mastermind game plan going after the guy.
Dude, the empowerment of that female in that film is like
ridiculous.
Scary. It's so scary. And I've never molested a kid or definitely murdered a kid like that guy did.
Right.
But you find yourself feeling bad for this dude because she's just torturing.
But I didn't feel bad for him.
I did.
Why would you feel bad?
Because I didn't
he was
know.
A piece of shit.
I didn't know he was a murderer. I just thought he had an
because he killed her friend.
A predilection to predication? I don't know. He liked young girls. Something like that. He liked young girls, which was disgusting, but not killing him worthy. And then she has the model driving there, and she's like, "Jump off the roof! You can hang yourself." And you're like,
"Fantastic!
Oh my God, it's so amazing!" And she just cleans up, and she calls
and
her
she
friend.
Goes home.
Hey, you want to go to a movie?
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh my God, this psycho crazy human." I don't know.
But then again, the original Psycho, another badass movie. The original
Psycho. I feel like there's no parallel to it. The visual, for the time especially, is so twisted and menacing. The shower itself. And they didn't show women's breasts.
Yes.
Like, and then the eyeball, she's just sitting there like, who plays dead better than her?
Right.
Really? So, yeah. So that might be the ultimate.
You know what they use for blood in that?
Chocolate.
Yep, Hershey's chocolate.
Do you know what else they used Hershey's chocolate in because of that movie? Raging Bull, which was shot in black and white.
De Niro, right?
De Niro, and the blood was just all chocolate because it comes across screen like dark, you know?
Oh, wow.
Of course I knew that. Come on, man. I make podcasts. No, I'm just kidding.
I did not know that.
Is that your ultimate favorite psychological horror movie? Because you brought it up pretty quickly. I didn't bring it up.
I mean, I watched it with my mom. We loved it.
I had this. Do you remember Psycho 3?
Yes. Is that when he was kind of calling in a radio station?
I hope that's 3. That might even be 4.
Okay.
But that's the one I loved. Because he's speaking to CC something. She was the girl who used to be on The Shield, the black woman. Do you remember that? Damn it, Dutch!
Well, I don't remember. I remember The Shield, but I don't remember her.
She was the older black lady.
Okay.
And she was like really forthright, and she was really nice. CC Pounder is her name. She's the person he calls into on the radio show.
Okay.
And it's like this, like, that was psychologically, and I was a kid. I was young when that happened, or that movie came out. I think it was the 90s.
Yeah.
I love that. And I felt bad because they said he was bastardizing the character. He had AIDS at that time in his life, so it was the end of the line for him. But I thought it was really good closure for Norman Bates.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great.
Remember when the kid from E.T. played Norman Bates?
Yes.
What'd you think of that?
Didn't like it.
Henry Thomas, right?
Yes.
And then what about the most recent Bates Motel that was on A&E for a few years?
See, I never watched that.
At the beginning of it, because I was married to someone who's in the horror, we did watch it. It was a spinoff, and it was complicated in its own right. Pretty good, though. And that actor, actually, I have a lot of respect for that actor. He's pretty deep. He's currently playing a physician with autism.
Like the good doctor.
The good doctor. That's him.
Okay.
But he was a teenager back then, so it was like a little different. But he's a
really... Actually, you can't fuck with the originals, though. All the original horror movies, like, they're great. Halloween, like...
Man.
They got to the third one, and that was shit because it was the exploding masks.
Yeah.
It was stupid.
What about Vince Vaughn's version of the original Psycho?
No. It was okay. I didn't love it.
Okay.
But he, I mean, I like him as an actor. I just didn't like him in that.
Anne Heche was pretty good.
Yeah, I like
Anne Heche. I don't like her actually overall.
Yes, yeah, I like.
Maybe her.
Her
off-screen antics annoy me. No, for real. I'm gay. I'm straight. I'm
right.
gay again. For some reason, that bothers me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, she played that part well.
She did.
And there was this deep, awesome parallel to the original. Remember the tryingness when she's in the car and her boss walks in front of the car and she's supposed to be home?
Yeah, and he, like, looks right at her.
And she, like, turns her
yeah,
head?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, dun, 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 dun.
Right.
Your heart beats out of your fucking chest. And then it just spins off in this radical direction where the fucking swamp gets the money. Like, my God, the swamp got all that
yeah,
fucking
there goes
money.
The car.
That might be my favorite. It's a really good one. Are you a Hitchcock guy in general? Like, did you like the TV show and stuff?
Not really.
I believe in the 60s for money, he made that Hitchcock
hour. Well, I wasn't born in the 60s, Max.
No, but I obviously wasn't either, but they rebroadcast
no,
it.
I know.
The black and white television?
Yeah.
It was good. I don't know, man. I heard some really twisted things, like he abused his actresses. He was really mean. He was degrading. Birds. Is it Tippi Hedren? Is that who's in that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I think she is in there.
That's, like, awful. He was just beating them and torturing them to get that fucking fear out of them.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I don't.
You don't?
No, I didn't like it.
Interesting. Johnny Mack. What kind of movies do you like?
Phone Booth.
No, let's discuss that, actually. I think I was let down a little bit by it. There was aspects of it. You, Tiffany, you wouldn't get this. But as a man who has cheated in his life, and I definitely have, there's a very real, when the guy in the phone booth is like, I'm going to tell your wife you are calling Tiffany. And you're like,
call
don't
her,
tell her. Oh, my God,
I'll
kill
right
her.
Now, or I will kill you.
I'm calling her on the phone. Don't do it. And I... So that's real. But I think in my head, I'd have just left the phone booth. Because
I would have just got out.
I was on tour in California years ago for a Starscream record, and I had slept with an ex-girlfriend who moved to California. I wasn't married.
Yeah.
Is that the whiskey?
I don't drink whiskey. So anyway.
Ba-dum-psh.
So I sleep with this girl. We come back home. Months go by. Now I'm sort of getting engaged to another girl. On Facebook, the ex sees this. And sends me an email. I'm going to tell your fiance what you did with me last summer. And she said this to me on Christmas. Right. And I just left my job and went home to my fiance and said, hi, we have to talk. I did this, 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 and this last summer. If you're going to leave me, that's fine. But if not, we can work it out.
Right.
Obviously, she stayed. But that woman wasn't going to hold it over my head. So if I'm in the fucking phone booth, he's like, I'm going to call your wife. I'm like, call my wife, motherfucker, shit.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Like,
give
I'm not going to stay in the phone
dial
booth.
The number,
there
right.
you go.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I don't know. It's... I don't know. You really liked that film a lot? That mm-hmm. was like a favorite for you?
That's
it was
not
more
your
so.
Favorite.
No, let's say my favorite. I said.
He likes Phone Booth.
No, but he also kept talking about Chud this whole week.
About what?
Chud.
Chud.
What's Chud?
I don't know.
What is it, John?
It's the oldest horror movie.
So it's a horror film. Why?
Yeah,
why do you?
I never even heard of that.
You've never heard of Chud?
It's so cheesy, it's good. That's why I like it.
Like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes,
yeah,
shit like that.
Yeah.
Like,
the old B movies.
B movies are kind of where it's at. There's this. Well, are you a Bruce Campbell fan? Did you say no? You're a horror
no,
fan. You don't like. You don't find Bruce Campbell like magical.
No. I love
Quentin, man.
What'd you say?
Quentin Tarantino. I love Quentin Tarantino.
That's not a horror guy, though.
No, I understand, but there's some aspects that could be like horror related.
What's your favorite Quentin film?
Reservoir.
It is really good. You can't fuck with the classics, right?
No, you can't.
I don't know.
Even though like his style is out of sync, but when you watch it multiple times, like. It comes into focus.
Oh,
and
definitely,
you see where
definitely. That fucking in. Was. It wasn't the Magnificent Seven. What was the Dreadful Eight or whatever the fuck?
The
it
Hateful
was?
Eight.
The Hateful Eight's pretty good, and I didn't like it per se, but it's on cable, and every time it was on, I have to watch it, and it would suck me in, and I'm like, oh, this is a pretty good fucking movie, actually.
Yeah, it's not bad. And
dude, the chick, who was by the way the girl who got knocked up in fucking Fast Times at Ridgemont High a billion years ago, that's her all
oh,
grown
Jennifer
up.
Jason Leigh.
That's her.
Definitely, yeah.
Who's now 1,000 years old in this fucking film? That's my brother. And then of course the best looking guy in the world is in the basement. That's her fucking brother. What's his name? Fuck, the guy from the stripper movie. I have no.
Oh,
idea.
Don't tip my tongue.
Tiffany, you should know this. He's from the
why should I know?
The remake of 21 Jump Street. The really good looking
oh,
guy.
Oh, not Channing Tatum.
Yes, Channing Tatum's
that's
in
it,
the basement.
Channing Tatum.
So you got this
Magic Mike.
Magic Mike.
Remember Mimbo Mike?
Tiffany! My God.
What did I do?
All right. I don't know how to explain this. Johnny Mack was in a band. All right, his third band when I knew him. Because he stole my guitar player in high school. Not that I'm bitter. I am bitter.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Bell. Chris Frakes, you motherfucker, who's still a dear friend of mine, actually. Left fucking us to be in euthanasia, motherfucker. But,
open up for typo.
So, Johnny Mack is in a band. Was it called Haywire at that time?
I believe it was Haywire.
Because they were in ACID back in the 90s, and they became Haywire, which is really cool. My friend Steve, who I'm really not friends with anymore, but he's a good guy. I love him, even though we don't speak.
He became a douche.
Says Johnny Mack. So, at any rate, here we go. He had a brother-in-law or something. And we met the guy, and he was really tiny, but he had, like, abs. And none of us ever had abs. And it turns out he was a male stripper. And we're like, well, that's kind of cool. No. It's not kind of cool. He danced for men. Because men pay more money.
Right.
And we're like, okay, you're a male stripper there, and you're dancing for the men there.
We have a cool nickname for you.
So then he became known as Mimbo. Because he was so fucking dumb. Like, we would talk to him, but yeah, man. He drove a Mazda Miata.
Convertible.
Which might be the gayest car ever. I don't know. And so anyway, here he is, Mimbo. And he was playing guitar at one point, and he was trying to tell us how to play guitar. And we, Johnny Mack and myself, know a thing or two about the rock and roll. You might have picked up on that.
Yeah.
So to get, like, dissertation from this guy who's a male stripper who's supported by his wife, who then chopped his own thumb off. Did you hear that fucking story?
I remember that.
So he's building something for the stepkid. It's not his kid. And he gets a circular saw and he's like, ah, fuck my thumb! Just sawed his thumb off. Now they glued the shit back on, so it's like stuck. Like, hey, I have a thumb to this day. But poor Mimbo no longer had a thumb.
He's like, well, I can't play bass now.
I believe it was the left hand, actually. So how do you hold the neck, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know why I'm telling that story. Fuck, I got a better story. Remember the fucking bass player whose fucking girlfriend drank her own urine?
Yes.
Oh, God.
It's a true story. So we knew a guy, and he was a musician, and Johnny Mack was playing with him in some capacity, and he had this girlfriend who was kind of annoying. Pretty girl.
Yeah.
Thin, blonde, just dumb. Dumb as the day is long. And she had, like, a breakdown in front of her father, and she was, like, 23, drops trail, pisses in a cup, and drinks that shit, and the dad's like, I'm calling the doctor, and you're getting locked up.
What the fuck?
Way before two girls in a car.
So it melts my brain. So I go on MySpace, and I write a blog, air quotes, because this is a long time ago, and I'm like, did you guys see this fucking chick who drank her own piss? And so I don't put anybody's name in it. I'm trying to be respectful. And of course, the guy's like, I can't believe you wrote this. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, how about my life? God, I felt really bad. I did naughty things to his sister, ironically enough. Like, I am bastard. I think you drove her to my house, actually, Johnny Mack.
Probably
did.
Did
you marry her? Joey Youngblood coming in and saying what's up.
Joey!
What's up,
hey,
guys?
What's up, man?
What's your favorite horror movie?
Halloween.
No, but wait, though, because there's 40 of them. So which Halloween do you dig?
First one, scared the shit out of me. Actually, I'm sorry, Exorcist.
Oh, my fucking... How do we forget Exorcist?
I watched that when I was like 11 years old.
And isn't it too fucked up for an 11-year-old?
I slept in my parents' room for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, dude, it gave me fucking nightmares.
Fucking 2020 did a show. My parents just let me watch 2020 when I was like 5. On demonic possession and Motley Crue and shit in like 83. I'm like 5. And I'm like, and my mom was like, you can't watch this. You're going to get the nightmares. And I'm like, I'm not going to get nightmares. I'm 5. I have a job. I smoke cigarettes and drive a car. I can watch this. And they're like, well, okay. Here you go. And they're like, demonic possession tonight.
Fuck me.
On 2020.
That was a horrible movie. I had nightmares for weeks.
Imagine being the little girl in The Exorcist who has to
Linda
say that.
Blair. Linda Blair.
You know who she wound up fucking the shit out of in the 80s when she was really hot?
Who?
Rick James, bitch.
Are you serious?
Dude, there's like all these photos. He did cocaine off her tits all the time and fucked her. Like, they were like a thing. He was like, you want a party, bitch? I'm Rick James. I want a party, bitch.
Did he say, fuck your couch?
Fuck your couch, bitch.
Fuck your couch.
I'm the hugest Rick James fan. I love Rick James. I know all about Rick James. Did you know Rick James was almost at the Manson fucking murders?
No.
Fucking weird, right? So Rick James, at 17 years old, he joins the fucking Navy. He goes, and he hates it, because fuck the Navy. So he goes AWOL, because he's fucking like 18. He goes to Canada, air quotes. He meets a not famous Neil Young. They start a fucking band together. That band gets signed to fucking Motown.
What?
Rick James and Neil Young to Motown in the 60s, right? So everything's going cool. They fire their manager. Well, the manager feels some type of way. He's like, well, fuck you. I'm going to turn you in, Rick James. He's like, don't do it. And he did. And they came and got him. So now the record deal's gone. Rick James has to go to jail for like 3-4 years. While he's there, Neil Young goes to California and becomes fucking Neil Young. You dig? So Rick James gets out and says, like, I'm going to find Neil. He goes to California. Now, Neil's kind of somebody. Crosby, Stills, and Nash is somebody. These are all his friends. So Rick becomes the drug dealer because, you know, you got to live somehow and fuck work. So Rick's like the neighborhood guy. You need coke, you go to Rick. You need some weed, he can get the shit. He was a gangsterish, mad N-word-ish, if you will.
Word.
And they fucking, hold on. He was invited to go hang out with some Hollywood actress at her fucking house. And his friend stops over and he's like, Rick, you gotta bring the cocaine, they're rich. And he's like,
hell yeah.
I'm Rick James, bitch. But I'm hungover, so I can't go to the party. You'll have fun without me. Whole day goes by. Rick wakes up from his dazedom. He turns on the TV. There's his boy chopped up on television at the fucking Sharon Tate house.
Oh, shit.
But here's the motherfucker, okay? Rick was in the service. He was from the street. They just had knives. I feel like if Rick James was there coked up, there's no murder.
No.
I think Rick James kills three white people and becomes like a national fucking celebrity.
Yeah.
He shaves, he fucking saves Sharon Tate. So Manson happens because Rick James passed the fuck out. That is a motherfucking story. And then he winds up fucking exorcist chick for
but like
years.
Doing rails and stuff off her tits?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I don't do rails, but if I did, it'd be off tits. Oh,
okay. Okay.
All right, I think we're coming to the end of our podcast, young lady. Did you enjoy it?
I did.
You going to be on again?
If you'll have me on
No,
again.
We can have like an in-depth actual horror discussion.
Yeah, I would
so
like inclined. That. Yeah.
So thank you for being a part of it.
No, thank you for having
she
us.
She is a super
we
freak.
Love you.
So Johnny?
Oh my God.
What'd
did
you
hear that? No, edit that, please.
Edit what?
What she's a super freak.
Super
don't start
freak.
Super
freak.
Because I'll air all our dirty laundry out.
Go ahead. I got
what the fuck? Was he like things in his butt? What am I missing here?
I'm not saying.
You just said
lady,
you'd air it.
A lady never talks.
You just said you were going to air it.
You're not a lady.
The only things he will not do is bondage and kill.
Wait, he's not going to kill. I wouldn't kill you either. I mean, if he loves you. Like. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 39 of the Vex on Vex podcast. We are live at the Starscream first annual Christmas party. Hosted by Bobo and Joey Youngblood. We got to play some rock and roll for you guys. Tiffany finally got her interview. Johnny Mac slightly inebriated but looking handsome as fuck. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks.
As always, we're available on the Podbean application on your phone, on the Loud and Loaded Network, and this is VexX telling you to stay frosty.